Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
You know, God is always speaking. We discover that in his word. Seven times in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, we see where Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So the Holy Spirit is always speaking. God is always speaking. The problem is we're not listening. And just like in this atmosphere right now, there are waves that can't be seen that cause us to use our cell phone. There are AM radio waves, FM radio waves, XM radio waves, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, you name it. There's all kind of information that we can't see that's in the cloud right now. But if you have the right device or if you have the right receiver, you can pull literally out of the air what is available across the world. Are y'all with me? Well, take that example into your walk of faith and know that God's word will speak to you if you will receive it. See, it's not that the wave is not out there. It's not that the signal is not available. It's not that the information is not available to be downloaded. It's that we haven't logged in. We haven't logged into his word. We haven't logged into his spirit. We haven't got our minds tuned into the things of God so that we can receive from the Lord. And that is so important. We looked at a verse Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians 2:9, where the Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Sadly, most people stop at that verse saying, "Man, my eyes have not seen, my ears hadn't heard, neither has my heart received all that God has for me." But the next verse, verse 10 says, "But God has revealed those things unto us by his Spirit." So things that you've never seen, heard, or received in your heart, God says, "I want to reveal those things to you by my Spirit." So Habakkuk here in chapter 1 is saying, "I'm going to get in position. I'm going to stand upon my watch. I'm going to tune in to see what the Lord would say to me." And my encouragement to you in verse 1 is that anytime you open the Word of God, every time you open the Word of God, do so in prayer. Pray and ask God to speak. "Lord, show me what you need me to see in your word." Every time you gather in an assembly like this or attend a conference or a Bible study or a small group, going into that, pray and say, "Lord, open my heart and my eyes and my ears to receive what you want me to receive," because the Holy Spirit can speak to you through his word. But do you have a receiver? Are you tuned in to receive what God has for you? So Habakkuk said, "I'm going to stand upon my watch. I'm going to be in expectation for the Lord to speak to me." And so as he sought the Lord, watch what the Lord said in verse number 2. "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision." Say that out loud. Write the vision. And that's what I'm saying to you. And I didn't come up with these three words. They're right out of the word of God. Write the vision. As you look into God's word and it gives you hope and it gives you vision for the future, and 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says all of the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ. As you study his word, as you look into his word, and his word resonates in your heart, and he gives you hope, and he gives you vision for your faith, for your future, for your family, for your finances. Give me another F and I'll mention that one too. You know, whatever it is that God begins to give you, write the vision for your life. Write the vision for your future. That's the first action word. Then he says this, "that he may run that readeth it." Read that part out loud. "That he may run that readeth it." That means don't just write your vision, run with it. And this word run is the second action word division. And notice it's corresponding action. There should be corresponding action in your life. There should be some running with your vision. You can't just have a vision, write the vision down, and put it in a notebook and tuck it in the second drawer in your bedroom and think it's going to come to pass. No, you have to run with your vision. There should be some corresponding action in your life in relationship to the vision or the conviction or the hope that you have in the Word of God. That's what he means when he says, write the vision and run. Run with what's been written. Carry it out. Both my boys play on Word of God Academy's basketball team. Matter of fact, all our kids do. The boys play on the boys' teams, and the girls are on the girls' team. And even Mila, at the age of 8, that we now have a team for our elementary campus. And so we're a basketball family now. And so Jaron found out that there's a boy in this area that's his height that can slam. And so when Jaron finds out that a boy his height, not as tall as Coach Strohmile Swift, but his height can slam, Jaron's like, what? My height can slam? Like, yeah, it's all about leg strength. So yesterday, the other day, I go out, and he's got ankle weights on shooting baskets. He's got a vision of himself slamming, so he's put the ankle weights on, you know. I didn't see him move around, but I can see it, you know. And I'm like, okay, he's running with the vision. He's got a vision of slam dunking, so he's getting his leg muscles worked out. And I'm like, okay, Jaron, you've ridden the vision. You're running with it with ankle weights on, and I'm waiting to see this, man. I am waiting to see you slam dunk at 5'4", wherever you are right now. But I respect that, man. Build your leg muscles up. If you got a vision of slam dunking, then let me see you run with that. You can't just have a vision of slamming a 10-foot basketball goal and you're not doing anything to give your body the physical ability to make that happen. You can have a vision of being bigger. You can have a vision of being smaller. But if you ain't doing nothing with that vision, you're going to be right where you are right now next year. This is a good time for, Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, corresponding action. You can't just look at a photograph of how you looked 5 years ago and say, Lord, I believe I received. No, you better do some running. You need to run. You might need to literally be running. You better be on a treadmill like, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. The vision is not enough. You got to run with it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to run with it. So my running is corresponding action. Corresponding action. Watch this. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision that he may run that reads it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision is for an appointed time. This is huge. That to every promise God gives us, there's a time frame for it coming to pass. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So because the vision is for an appointed time, the last action word in verse 3 is wait for it. Say that out loud. Wait for it. So notice the three words. Write the vision that you may run with it, and though it tarries, wait for it. Three action words that God gave Habakkuk, not James A. McManus. God gave Habakkuk in relationship to vision. He said, here's three things you got to do with vision. You got to write it, you got to run with it, and you got to wait on it. Boom. That's simple. I can do that. Now, with this in mind, come back to Psalms, the 30th division. Psalms 30. Now, let me bring up this appointed time right quick. Appointed time. Because I believe there is a time stamp attached to every promise of God and to every vision he gives us. In other words, there's a time in your future that thing is going to come to fruition. And that's where most people lose hope and faith, is in the delay. They interpret delay as denial. But delay is not denial. For many people, it's not that you've not done the right thing. It's that you haven't done it long enough. But I wanna speak a little bit more about this appointed time thing. Because it's not so much that it is a date on a calendar that God is saying you've got to wait on, but rather something that a process that you and I need to go through before we're ready. The law says that when you turn 16, you can have a driving license and get behind the wheel of an automobile. But every 16-year-old is not ready to drive. So even though the law says you're of age, what if your teenager is immature and irresponsible and can't keep the lawnmower out of the ditch? So do you put them behind the steering wheel of an automobile? Or do you say, I know the law says you can drive at the age of 16, but you're not driving without me in the car. And I got to have me one of them cars like driver's ed has where I have my own brake. So even though technically it's legal for you to drive, your maturity level says no. Teenagers everywhere right now are hating me. They're like, please shut this man up, Holy Spirit. The point I'm trying to make is I don't necessarily believe that the promises of God as they relate to vision for our life have a time stamp that on, you know, May 15th, this thing's going to happen, but rather it's our maturity level. When are we ready spiritually, mentally, and physically for that thing to happen? And because of that, I make this statement that if you wait right, you won't wait long. And I'm going to explain that over the course of the next few verses that we look at. So is there anything in my life, we could ask ourselves this, is there anything in my life that maybe God is using this waiting period to get something out of my life that needs to come out of my life before this vision comes to pass? Or maybe there's something I need in my life before this vision comes to pass. The biblical word wait is that process that God takes us through so that we're ready for that vision to come to pass. And if we go through that process right, it doesn't have to take forever. And an example of this biblically would be the children of Israel when God called them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness to the promised land. It took them 40 years to get from Egypt to the land of promise, even though that journey could have been done in weeks. Why did it take them 40 years? Because they didn't let, God got them out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. So there was a process they had to go through to be ready for the promised land. And even then, only what, two get in? Joshua and Caleb, I think I'm right about that. All right, so watch this here in Psalms 30. Now, if you're in Psalms 30, say amen. Okay, put your bookmark there. And now go with me to Matthew 17. And I did all that on purpose. Go, because I want you to get these two real quick. So we definitely use our Bibles here. So go with me to Matthew 17. And then put your bookmark in Psalms 30. And for those of you that are using your smart devices, you're having to really learn how to use bookmarks and all that. So that's cool. Matthew 17. And let's go to verse number 20. So you're going to have Matthew 17, verse 20, and Psalms 30 ready to read back to back. When you got both of those ready to read, say amen. Amen. All right, watch this. Matthew 17, verse number 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you're treating your faith like seed, that's what he's saying, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. So Jesus said, if you have faith and you've treated your faith like seed, another sermon, another day, I've actually preached on this very topic. If you have faith, treat it like seed, you'll speak to your mountain, go to yonder place. Jesus was country. Yonder is his country as a tambourine. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Notice what Jesus just said here. If you had faith as seed, you speak to the mountain and it's removed. Now, the mountain is your obstacle. The mountain is whatever is in your way that's preventing you from getting from this point to the one you're heading to. And so he's saying, whatever it is that is in opposition, whatever it is that stands between you and your destination, you can speak to it by faith and have that thing be removed. Now, go real quickly with me, because your bookmark's there, to Psalms 30, and let's drop down to verse 7, Psalms 30, verse number 7. So think about having mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith. I speak to this mountain, be thou removed. Mountain-moving faith. And think about what may be in your life right now that appears to be preventing you from getting to your destination. Now, watch this in Psalms 30, verse 7. If you're there, say amen. Okay. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And thou did hide thy face, and I was troubled. Now, when I read the latter part of that statement, Lord, you made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. When I read that, I'm not thinking about the Lord doing me a favor. In matter of fact, if I'm being real and I read that, I might say, Lord, if that's a favor, I don't need any more favor. Because he just said, Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. But notice he said, Lord, by your favor you made that happen. By your favor you made my mountain stand strong. Now, I know that verse may look like it's contradicting mountain-moving faith, but the reason I want to read this and show you this in Scripture is that God won't move things out of our life until we are ready, because he knows what's in our best interest. I'm going to go back to the vehicle and your child's driving. If your teenager does not know how to drive and they're irresponsible, and you say, well, they're 16 and they're old enough to drive, here's the keys, and you know they're not ready to drive a vehicle, do you just give them the keys because they're old enough, or do you say you're going to have to wait until you're mature enough? See, the point I'm trying to make is, just like we as parents don't necessarily give our children everything they want when they want it, it's not that they're not going to have it. It's that we can tell when they're mature enough to have it. And so we watch and say, okay, when the time is right, we will put this in your life. But we're not going to give it to you too soon, because we don't want it to destroy you. God, by his infinite wisdom, says, I know where you're going, and I know you're going to get there. But I've got to delay you right now because you're not ready for the place you want to go to. You know, the Bible says prosperity ruins the fool. And we have to trust that the Lord knows how to navigate us, that he is our forerunner and he is our rear guard, and that he will order our steps in his word, and he will take us through a process that prepares us for the end. And we've got to be willing to let the Lord work on us in the process, knowing that in where you're taking me, there are some things that need to come out of me, and there are some things that need to come into me. And Lord, you know what you need to do in my life to prepare me for where you are taking me. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter number 25, and I'm going to show you what I feel like is one of the best examples of what I'm saying, because biblically, when you're waiting, the one of the words in Scripture that the word wait is translated means to bind together. The second definition says to get your stuff together. And it's actually one of the words wait's definition. We see the word wait in the English, you know, language, and it just means to wait. Well, wait me, I'm waiting. Well, wait me, man. I ain't doing nothing until they call my name. Biblically, that's not wait. Biblically, I'm getting my stuff together in preparation of what I'm waiting on. It's a process. So God uses the waiting period to prepare us for where he's taking us. But if you won't let him prepare you in the waiting season, then you have to wait even longer. Because the due season can't come until we're mature enough and until we're ready for it. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, watch this in Matthew 25. I'm going to show you a perfect example of this, in my opinion. All right, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom in this parable would be Jesus. All right. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So they got a lamp, but no oil. Looks like they're ready for travel at night. But they have no oil in the lamp. What good is a lamp with no oil? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried. Read that part out loud. While the bridegroom tarried. Think about your life right now, what it may look like is tarried. Why is it taking so long? Lord, when are you going to make this word good in my life? When are you going to bring this vision I know you put in my life to pass? When is this thing going to come to pass? It seems like you are tarrying. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed or turned on their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Gone out. You didn't carry any oil. And so they said to those that had the oil, hey, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are gone out. And they said, well, if we give you our oil, then our lamps are going to go out. And you've had as much time to get your oil together as we have. Watch this. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, the word buy just means exchange. We think about buying and giving up money to get a thing. Buy, making an exchange to get something. So see it for what it is. To buy means to exchange. Here they all are, knowing the bridegroom is coming. Five of them have their lamps and their oil because they're expecting it to come. Five of them have their lamps. They look like they're ready, but they have no oil in their lamps, which means they are not ready. So five are waiting right, and five are waiting wrong. Can everybody see that? Notice when you read the beginning, they were all expecting the bridegroom to come. They all call themselves, quote unquote, waiting on the bridegroom. But five are ready if he showed up. Five were not ready if he showed up. Five were called wise. Five were called foolish. Ask yourself this question. Are you waiting wisely or are you waiting foolishly? Because when it comes to the process of waiting on God's word to come to pass in our lives, this waiting process is a time where we're getting our stuff together in expectation and in preparation for where it is we believe God is carrying us to. Now, think about this. What did they have in their life, the foolish, that they were not willing to give up for oil? See, when they wanted the wise men's oil, they said, you can buy just like we bought. Go to them that sell and give up something and you can receive oil. Isn't it interesting that there are people that will look at your breakthrough, look at your blessing, and see what God has done to your life, and by the spirit of entitlement, think that your gain is their loss. Listen, you can't look at a person's gain and make that your loss. Another man's gain is not your loss, but that's what the world teaches us, is that one man's gain is another man's loss. See, these foolish virgins saw the wise gain as their loss. Give us of your oil. They said, no, we bought this oil. You can buy oil just like we bought oil. You can pray like I prayed. You can apply faith like I applied faith. Everything that I've done, you can do. What you've seen come in my life, it was available to you as well. God is no respecter of persons. He gives good gifts to all of his children. The difference was five were willing to buy for the oil and five were not. Could it be right now that what's holding up your breakthrough is there's something in your life you're not willing to give up to receive what you need from God to get to that place of your vision? See, buying is all about saying, okay, Lord, what is in my life that I need to get out of my life in order to go where I believe you're taking me? Think about buying a house or building a house or making a move. Maybe you've been living in an apartment or a house and you're getting ready to buy a new home, whatever the case may be. Most people, when they move, have a garage sale. And it doesn't mean they sell their garage. It means that they get all the stuff together that they don't want to take into their new place. They're heading into a new place, a better place, a bigger place. And they say, you know what? I don't want to carry all this to where I'm going. So you have a sale, a rummage sale, a garage sale, or you pack everything up and you give it away. You do something because you don't want to carry this into where God is taking you. Listen, you have to know that in the waiting process, we have to have the discernment to say, okay, there's some stuff in my life I can't take to where God is carrying me. The vision that God has for my life, there's some stuff in my life that can't go there. I've got to be willing to give this up so I can gain what he has for me.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, be sure and visit our website at wogm.com. And I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.